Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening, and welcome to this special production of Walls in Our Minds. We're here in Las Vegas at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association meeting for Constitutional County Sheriffs. And, boy, it's been an exciting day today, and I want to open us up with a prayer. Red's not on with us yet, I assume, Kate, so I will open us up. Father God, I just want to be so thankful for you this day. What a blessing it's been to watch these sheriffs and the speakers that have been bringing such powerful messages to them, and how well everything's been received and how smooth things have gone. Obviously, we have your blessing and your spirit among us. We invite you to participate in this show tonight. We're just so thankful for your son and so thankful for the many ways that you're working in our lives. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, it's getting a little loud behind me because I just the sheriff just got out of their afternoon session. So I'm not sure who's on with me. If you're on and you got a live mic, say hello.
Hello, this is Wiley Drake.
Hello, Wiley.
How are you? Who am I speaking with?
This is Terry Dodd.
Well, Terry, God bless you, my brother. Listen, I was just sharing with my television audience around the world that I had received an invitation to join this prayer line, and if it's okay with you, we will carry it live on Crusade Radio and Ustream.tv around the world. Is that okay with you?
You certainly have my permission. You do.
Well, brother, we're live in the studio in California, and we may have to leave the line if we get other callers, but until we do, we're just going to listen and eavesdrop on Walls and Minds, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Crusade Radio. Thank you for listening to Ustream.tv. And thank you, and all of you know our call-in numbers if you need to call in. But in the meantime, brother, go right ahead. We're just going to be quiet now and listen in.
Thank you, Wiley. Is Stuart on with us yet?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Well, hello, Stuart Rhodes. I don't even think I need to give you much of an introduction. Our listener base is quite well familiar with Oath Keepers and your whole organization and what's been going on, Stuart. So I'm just going to turn the floor over to you and let you tell everyone about this fantastic event that we're at here in Las Vegas, and share a little bit about what's been special to you so far.
Well, I think it's remarkable that Sheriff Mack has been able to bring together in such short notice a really wonderful collection of stand-up sheriffs. And we just heard from the sheriff from El Paso County, Colorado, who together with the county commissioners there passed the very first resolution I know of against the NDAA. And the sheriff there jumped on board also refusing to go along with this outrageous abrogation of the Bill of Rights, which is what it is. And that's my topic tonight when I'm speaking at the banquet. It's going to be on the NDAA military forced detention and trial and provisions, which even allow for extraordinary rendition of U.S. citizens over to foreign nations or foreign entities. It's an absolute outrage. It's pretty much our version of the Intolerable Acts, the same thing, almost exactly the same kind of stuff that King George and Parliament was doing to the colonists that require our forefathers to fight a revolution. You still there? Are you let me talk all over myself?
Stuart, I'm sorry. I'm muted because I have all this noise going on behind me, and I thought I unmuted.
Oh, no problem.
You mentioned the NDAA, and that kind of takes me a little bit off of topic because I can't help but to bring up this issue while you mention it. One of the things that I've noticed is how you can really tell what a politician's true colors are is how he votes on something like NDAA, and especially if they come out and they try to defend it.
Well, this is the problem. The reason why this provision that destroys the Bill of Rights or tries to is in the NDAA, it's the National Defense Authorization Act. The reason they stuck it in there, John McCain and Carl Levin, is because they know that most politicians will just vote for it because it's voting for the troops. It's funding for the troops. It's funding for veterans. It's funding for widows with the troops. And so they can you know, hammer them over the head with, well, you can't vote against this or you're voting against the troops. You know, John McCain tried to pull this nonsense a year ago, in 2010, actually. He tried to pull the same thing in his Anti-Belligerent Act, but he couldn't get it passed as a standalone bill. So he sticks it in the NDAA, you know, in a multiple thousand pages of bill, and he sticks it in there knowing that most congressmen won't even read it, they'll just vote for it. Or if they do read it, they'll still feel pressured. And so we've heard some congressmen who have now gotten a big dose of flack from their constituents start backpedaling and saying, oh, well, I only voted for it because I knew that, you know, because Bonner promised us that we would be able to fix it later. You don't take an oath to the Constitution that says, I swear to defend the Constitution, unless I know it'll get fixed later, then I'll go ahead and vote for something that's unconstitutional. That's not how it works. And so they're on the hook, and they're responsible, and I really think we need to have a scorched earth policy towards anybody that voted for this. I don't care who they are. You know, Alan West voted for this. Mr. Tea Party darling and military officer, I don't care. He voted for something it's the most dangerous law passed in American history, not just because of what it does to our Bill of Rights, but also because it's going to compel us to fight another revolution if they don't fix it. So they need to fix their mess. They need to fix it right now. And if they don't fix it, though, we're on a short track to another American revolution.
Well, one thing that I noticed here today, and you know, I've thrown out a lot of things at people since I've been here, and I haven't seen anybody resisting any kind of constitutional concepts. You know, I mean, you would expect that some of these sheriffs would kind of be skeptical, but I really haven't run into much skepticism regarding these constitutional concepts as well as unalienable rights, and it's been really encouraging to me to see this. Now, we've got, what, over 125 sheriffs here today? Aren't they representing, like, about over 30 states?
Yeah, I think they are. And so I think what happened here is that the good ones came. Unfortunately, the sheriff of my own county up in Kalispell, Flathead County, he didn't come. And in fact, I just heard through the grapevine that he regarded this whole group of sheriffs down here as a bunch of extremists. And so apparently, we need a new sheriff in Flathead County, Montana. So I think the answer to that is that the good guys showed up, which is great because it's nice for them to see that they're not alone. And one of the things that the domestic enemies of our Constitution like to do is to make you think you're all by yourself. And that's why they don't like the Internet. They don't like mass rallies. They don't like events like this. That's why they don't like Oath Keepers, because all of those different ways of people coming together and working for restoration of the Constitution, all of them help you to see that you're not alone, you're not the only one, you're not crazy, but you are actually seeing what's happening, and you're right. And that's what I kind of like about the NDAA. I like it because I can point to a law passed by Congress that is pretty plain on its face, that they want to allow for, you know, use of military force, including assassination, the continuation of Obama's assassination program against U.S. citizens. They want to allow for indefinite military detention without trial, as though you were some goat herder in Afghanistan, and they want to allow for military trial by tribunal, and it says it right there. And so now anybody who calls me a conspiracy theorist, I can just throw that bill right in their face and say, well, look, this law, and say, look, there it is in black and white. This is what's being done. And really, it is a direct parallel to the intolerable acts that our forefathers suffered that compelled them to fight the revolution. You can look at the Declaration of Independence; it's all the same kind of stuff. You know, he has attempted to render the military power superior to the civil power, he has in many cases denied us of the right of trial by jury. This bill, this law does exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same kind of abuses that our forefathers fought against.
Well, now, I hope I'm not talking out of school, but I got a report about Colorado where I heard that there was a meeting of all the county sheriffs back at the beginning of January or the end of the first week of January, and they specifically got together to talk about this meeting. And I guess from what the report was that about half of them, when they walked in there, when they came into the meeting, about half of them were, you know, very much in favor of this and this whole movement. And the other half were like, you know, not so much in favor. But by the time the meeting was over, there was less than a half a dozen of them that really still kind of stood in opposition to it. So that's really encouraging, because that means to me that like 85% of the sheriffs in the state of Colorado are pretty much on board, even though only 8 or 9 of them showed up here. So
well,
that's encouraging too.
That's kind of an interesting reflection, I think, of just human nature. I would say that most men who are sheriffs are men of courage and integrity, and if anything, all they're lacking is knowledge. And so that's what happens, though, is that the bad guys rely on the lack of knowledge, and they're you know, we've all been dumbed down in public schools. They don't teach us the Constitution, and then that one's the sheriff, and what does he get instead? He gets a big dose of DHS propaganda, and same goes for local police chief. And so if you can cure that and give them the knowledge, that sounds like that's what happened in Colorado, is that other sheriffs help teach their fellow sheriffs. That's the antidote. You know, truth, one drop of truth is a cure to a whole bucket of bull. So that's the thing, and that's why they hate what we're doing here today, that's for sure. They don't want us teaching these sheriffs and giving them even more knowledge and more ammunition.
Well, you're familiar with Brad Rogers' story. I didn't get a hold of – I was going to perhaps try to get Brad on. I'll probably get him on a different show. But his story in particular struck me as really, really powerful. And I'm just wondering if you could kind of – could you give a briefing on that?
You know, actually, I missed that part of the conference. I was out sick earlier today.
Well, then I'll try to share it. And if you can clean up my act, feel free to. But he's a sheriff in Indiana. And he got contacted by an Amish farmer. And they said that the FDA was coming down on them, that they had come out and done, something like 4 or 5 inspections. Let me see who's on. Okay, so we've got some other people that are online with us. Let me finish this story real quick. At any rate, this Amish farmer is telling the story that they had gotten several clean inspections, that everything had checked out, and then they basically started coming down on them because they were selling unprocessed milk from this farm, and I guess some of it was probably going into a co-op, which the co-op sends it across the state lines. So they came in and started trying to shut these people down. Well, with the sheriff there, when he found out what was going on, basically sent a notice off to these federal agents with the FDA that, hey, you know, if you're going to come in here and harass my people, you need to have a signed warrant by a judge that's properly authorizing that warrant, or you'll be arrested for trespass. So, you know, the sheriff got a nasty threatening letter saying, you know, and then so he wrote back and told him that, you know, he doesn't read the Constitution the way they read it, and that you know, he also told him that contacting his county attorney won't do any good because he county attorney doesn't run the sheriff's office, he does. And I guess the week after that, they ended up getting a notice withdrawing the subpoena that they had sent this Amish farmer or dairy guy. They had issued a subpoena for him to come, I believe, to Detroit, which is quite some distance away from where he was at. And the sheriff got that subpoena rescinded. And if any of the other sheriffs are online and can add to what I just said, please join in. Let's get everybody online announced that's online with us. Who else do we have online with a live mic?
This is Kirk McKenzie.
Kurt?
I'm here.
How about John Lopey? Are you there? Or Bruce Haney? Are either one of you there?
I'm on the phone. I'll be done in 2 minutes.
How about Dean Wilson? How about John Cook? All right. Red, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Well, super. Red, say hello to Stuart Rhodes.
Well, I have wanted to meet him for quite a while, and this is at least a start, but sooner or later I hope we get to meet face-to-face. I'm glad he's up there in Montana, and I like some of the reports I'm getting out of Montana. So, Stuart, hang in there, and I'm past my prime, and I hope I've laid some groundwork for you. So,
well, I appreciate that. If you're at the conference today, come see me tonight. I'll be at the banquet tonight.
How is that?
Red's up in Carroll's, Washington, Stuart.
Oh, I got you. He's not there in Vegas. Okay. Well, thanks, Red. Appreciate that.
Stuart, this is Wiley Drake in California, and I want you to know, you probably already know, I am an Oath Keeper. I did join some time back. Keep up the good work. God bless you. We're carrying this right now live on television and radio, and I'll be quiet and let somebody else talk now.
Well, Stuart, tell us what else has gone on here at this convention that has been most impressive to you.
Well, I think that, like I said, that just the gathering of these sheriffs. Unfortunately, I missed the first half of the day. Sheriff Mack is always very educational. He speaks to the sheriffs, and he's really good about inspiring them to, step up all the way. And so I think that with his leadership, it's really good to see that he's rekindled the Constitutional Sheriff Association, and now is definitely the right time. You've got some stand-up sheriffs from Oregon and Northern California that are here, and you've got some good ones out of Utah and Arizona, and here in Nevada, too. You've got the Nye County Sheriff of Nevada is a good guy, too. So there's, just a really good gathering of, gathering of eagles, gathering of staunch sheriffs. And so, I think this will be the beginning of a stronger coalition of sheriffs across the country that will keep growing.
Amen.
Well, one of the questions that I was asking a few people last evening was what their expectations are for going forward after this conference. While you're thinking about that for a moment, Stuart, I want to let everyone know who's calling in, the sheriffs that are calling in, if you will please hit a 1 to let the host know you're ready to speak. Once you have a live mic, you're open to speak from there on, but until the host gives you a live mic, we don't know you're there. So please hit a 1 on your key stroke there to let her know that you are one of the guests that are calling in to speak. Stuart.
Yes.
What do you see happening going forward now that this has happened? What's next?
Well, I know there's a series of resolutions. There are resolutions that Sheriff Mack and the rest of the sheriffs are working on. I'm going to be encouraging them to adopt or write their own resolution against the NDAA, and whether they do that as an association or do that as individual sheriffs or both, I don't know. But that's one thing we're definitely going to be encouraging, and that's what has to happen across the country against this in particular. This is the most egregious current assault on our Bill of Rights that I can think of. And so just as we've had a county in Colorado step up, we have I helped write a resolution that will be introduced by the Oklahoma legislature within the next couple of days. And there are other legislatures across the country that are also drafting resolutions against the NDAA. And so I think that's going to be the next big thrust, because it really is striking at the heart of the Bill of Rights. And that will hopefully get them to, once you get them to step out against something so egregious, then it's much easier to get them to step out against other things. Sometimes it works the opposite of how you might think it might work. The more clear the violation, the easier it is sometimes for people to step up. So that's why I say it's a silver lining.
Well, is Sheriff John Cook on with us now? Well, who's calling for area code 303? Well, okay, I guess we'll just move right along. I'm not sure where our sheriffs are. They should be calling in and hitting a 1 when they call in. So we've got a bunch of them that are supposed to be calling in. I'm sure they'll be joining us here in just a moment, probably taking them some time to get out of their conference and call in. So, Stuart, you've been on this board I know it hasn't been all a gravy train pulling this conference together. Can you give the folks a little bit of
that? Well, actually, I'm not on the board. Sheriff Mack is on the board of Oath Keepers, the organization which I'm a president of, and we're supporting him in putting this conference together, but I'm not on his board, actually. I would be happy to, but I wear a lot of hats. I think I'm probably pretty busy as it is.
I must have confused that. I'm sorry.
No problem. But you know, we support him in anything he does. So, you know, he's been doing the same. He's been really doing the Oath Keeper mission now for 20 years. So before there was an Oath Keeper organization, he was doing the same thing. So it meshes in nicely with what we do with military and peace officers in general.
Well, Oath Keepers obviously has a strong presence here. I mean, I've seen a lot of folks that are wearing Oath Keeper shirts. Oath Keepers from California is in here. A lot of these sheriffs are participating in Oath Keepers. So I'm kind of curious on how this kind of a conference will impact Oath Keepers.
Well, we volunteered to provide security, and a lot of our guys are helping to shuttle the attendees back and forth to the airport. We have some Oath Keeper sheriffs here, and also, we've got some Oath Keeper police officers. One of them's name is Jason Palmer, who's all the way from Florida, flew in just to attend this conference. And he's thinking about moving out west, and so he's here in part to check out the western United States as a place to relocate. I think it'll help us in strengthening our bond with constitutional sheriffs and help them know that we have their back. And that's important, too. I think people need to do that in the local communities. You need to go to your sheriff, and it'd be wonderful if you had every veteran in the community step up and go to the sheriff and say, "Sheriff, when you need help, you know, if you need a posse, here we are." You know, and let him know that you got his back, because that also helps him do the right thing. It's a lot easier to do the right thing when you're not standing alone, like high noon, right? if the whole town melts away when the sheriff takes a stand, then he's all by himself. He still has responsibility to do it, but it's a lot easier to do the right thing and be successful at it if the whole community is behind him. So I'd encourage people to really get behind them. And I would encourage them to, you know, use Sheriff Mack's book and maybe a resolution against the NDAA. Things like that are a good litmus test for your sheriff. If you give your sheriff a copy of Sheriff Mack's book and he doesn't read it, then you know you got a dumbass. I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to cuss. Then you know you got a dummy. But if he reads it and then turns it down and says, you know, I don't believe in this, then you know you got a person who's being willfully disobedient to his oath. And so I would also use a resolution like the NDAA against that as another litmus test. If he won't sign on, if he won't stand up and say he won't blackbag you or help them blackbag you and take you off in the middle of the night to Guantanamo, if he won't say no to that, then he's a useless sheriff. So, you know, try to lead them to water, but if they refuse to drink, then it's time to get a new horse.
Kurt, do you have a question for Stuart Rhodes?
Hi, Stuart. Kirk McKenzie here. Hey, listen, I'm just glad to hear that you're there and really going for it. I totally agree with you about the fact that there can't be the sheriff standing at the line of scrimmage by himself. It's got to be a lineup. The one thing I did want to comment on, if I could, is earlier you were talking about the John McCain being one of the sponsors of NDAA. For people who, you know, continue to associate themselves by their political party affiliation, like Republican or whatever, just kind of let that be a lesson, in my opinion, that the label doesn't mean much anymore, and you have to look to the individual. You know, McCain was an establishment guy, and I think we have a bunch of establishment candidates in that party this year as well, and we really have to be very careful.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a bipartisan assault on the Bill of Rights by both major political parties, and it was only 13 senators voted against it. That doesn't make it good. It just means that both sides are destroying your freedom and robbing your children of their birthright. So like you said, the party's irrelevant. What matters is whether or not they're going to keep their oath. And John McCain, that's why last election we were given a false choice between oath-breaking traitor John McCain or oath-breaking traitor Barack Obama. What kind of a choice is that? So that's part of the reason why I started Oath Keepers. I knew that we were in big-time trouble, and I wanted to focus on buying us time to fix this country by focusing on the guys with the guns and getting them to do the right thing. Because if the military and police do the right thing and refuse to be, you know, tools of oppression over their own people, then the bad guys cannot destroy the Constitution and destroy our republic. So they rely on them to be obedient. So that's why they don't like us, because we're screwing with their muscle. And this conference with Sheriff Mack is, you know, nullification and county sheriff standing up and state standing up is going to be the key to fixing this peacefully. That is going to be the key. But any way it goes, even if it doesn't end in peaceful resolution, if we wind up fighting another revolution, this is still preparing the ground and preparing ourselves and our communities for whatever comes. But we do hope it can be, you know, that can be avoided if we can fix this. And so, as I'll talk tonight, the model I look at is what Jefferson and Madison did in 1798 in response to the Alien Sedition Acts, which were a gross violation of the Bill of Rights, you know, violation of the First Amendment, where you had a law that allowed the government to put newspaper editors and writers in prison if they were criticizing the president, which was just absolutely outrageous. And Jefferson and Madison both responded with a two-prong attack. They first went to the state legislatures and said, you have an obligation to declare this null and void from inception. You yourself, don't wait for the federal courts, you go do it, you say it's null and void, and then be ready to interpose and defend your people against it. And the second prong was they swept the oath breakers out of office. They went in there and cleaned out the Federalists, everyone that voted for this, and Jefferson took the White House, and the Jeffersonians took over Congress. So that was what they call now the peaceful revolution of 1800. That's how it's referred to. It was a political, you know, turning of the tide. So we have a, you know, narrow chance of doing that, but we need to make sure we do both those tactics. We stand up as individuals, veterans organizations, churches, towns, counties, sheriff's departments, individual officers. We have a really cool letter on our website right now from an Ohio police officer currently serving as oath keeper who put a letter out to his fellow officers in his state and said, hey, I'm not going to do this. There's no way I'm going to go along with this, and I'm going to keep my oath, and my responsibility is to protect, you know, serve and protect the people of my community, and I'll do that. And so he's, you know, he's standing up as an individual officer, and we're going to be encouraging other ones to follow suit. And the military, too. The military's got to nullify. And, you know, actually, the word nullification is kind of inaccurate. You're not making it null and void. Anything that's not pursuant to the Constitution is null and void from inception. You're just recognizing the fact that it's null. And so we need to have them stand up, though, and say, look, this is just wrong. We're just not going to do it. And if we can do that, then we can buy us the time to then clean out all the oath breakers. And you got to clean them all out, every single one of them. I don't care who they are or why they voted for this. They're either, you know, willful traitors or they're useful idiots. So take your pick. But they got to go.
I do want to add just one comment. I think that is our wording is very, very important. And I would suggest to think of it this way. The revolution has already taken place. Our constitutional government has been overthrown. So what we're all about is a restoration.
Yeah, I agree. I agree fully. You're right. I definitely agree with that. So, you know, or I'll get like this. There's another way to look at this. When among the list of charges against the king, at the very end, after they talk about him destroying jury rights and making the military superior to the civil power and subjecting them to a jurisdiction foreign to their constitution, at the end they say this. They say he has abrogated government here by declaring us outside of his protection and waging war against us. And so what they basically said is that, hey, the king left us. He left the British Constitution. He left us. He declared us outside of his protection, and he became an enemy of ours. You know, he waged war against us. And our current Congress is doing much the same thing.
Fair pain back, John McCain?
What's that?
I'm not sure what that sounds like. Somebody in the background someplace.
Right.
Stuart,
so just to finish that thought. So the point is that at a certain point, we're almost there, at a certain point, when you've got all three branches of the federal government, the executive, the legislative, and judicial, all destroying the Constitution, what they're doing is destroying the Constitution that created them. You know, without the Constitution, there is no Congress, there's no executive branch, and there's no federal judiciary. So if they succeed in destroying the Constitution, what they will have done is they will have destroyed the federal government. They'll have abdicated any right to rule, any right to legislate, any right to sit in those positions, and all they are is just men. So, and at that point, we would devolve back to being sovereign states again. So, you know, if they succeed in destroying the Constitution, they've destroyed themselves.
Well, that's an interesting point, Stuart. Tonight, you're going to be speaking. Could you give us a prelude to what you're going to be talking about to the sheriffs tonight?
I just did.
Okay.
I kind of thought that. Look, guys, you're sitting in the same seats our founders sat in. You're on a you're on the same, you're at the same crossroads. It's going to be, you know, we're going to have to choose. Is this country going to be, you know, 1934 Germany, or is it 1774 America? That's where we are right now. That's our choice. You know, and I choose 1774 America. And so I think I'm not alone in that. So, you know, but they have to choose themselves. They can't just think to themselves, we can just go along, I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing, and I won't have to, you know, make these hard choices. They're going to have to, you know, either, you know, really frankly, when it comes right down to it, sheriffs across America, along with the military and all police officers, are going to have the choice. They're going to make the decision about whether or not there is a peaceful restoration through constitutional means, through the states, you know, exercising their reserve powers under the 10th Amendment, or if they're going to force us to fight another revolution. So, which
Stuart,
is...
Stuart, if people, you know, choose to get in touch with Oath Keepers, tell them how to do that, would you please?
You bet. They can just go to oathkeepers.org, and they can contact us through there. They can join if they want to, but if they don't want to, we don't care. You know, as long as they keep their oath, that's the main thing. And I look at it like an iceberg. You know, there's a necessary visible tip that the bad guys know is there, and they know we're not blowing smoke, and then there's the big mass underneath that can't quantify because, and they can't identify because they don't join Oath Keepers. And I think that's fine. So, but folks are willing to join, if they want to join as an associate member, even if they've never served, they can do that to support our mission. And if they're current serving and if they're willing to step up, like Jason Palmer, the officer from Florida, he's, you know, he's like John Hancock. He's there I am, you know, make the most of it. And so there's guys like that, and if that's their chosen path, then we welcome them. If they prefer to stay under, you know, kind of under the surface and under the radar, that's their choice too, and we respect that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to these fellows from the Las Vegas area. Thank you guys for allowing us to eavesdrop on your conversation and put it on Ustream.tv, the Wiley Drake Show, and Wiley Drake Show on Crusade Radio around the world. And so I'll be quiet now and let y'all go back to talking.
Well, Terry, I'm going to sign off now and go get ready for my speech. But I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to seeing you again at the conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers, and I would encourage you to check it out. I am a former military, and I checked it out, and after I checked it out, I found out it would behoove me to join, and I am a member, very proudly to say, a member of Oath Keepers. So I want to butt in on your program, brother. Go ahead.
Red, are you still there?
I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm listening.
I see why we've been held up with the sheriffs, because they all just came out of their meeting. They kicked everybody else out of the sheriff's meeting so that they could put together a declaration and agree on something coming forward. So these guys will be calling in here in just a few minutes, but Red, if you could, Stuart, are you still on with us? I think Stuart left. Red, if you and Kirk could converse for just a second, I'm going to grab one of these guys.
Yeah, I think that we have to be reminded as we work this way, we need to make sure that our patience level is up there pretty high, because it takes, you know, all of this, you know, this effort to undermine the Constitution and to conduct, actually, it's been the second American Revolution that has been going on. I've stated that many, many times. these outlaws that are trying to get rid of the Constitution, that's a revolution. And we just haven't recognized, the American public just don't, they just haven't added two and two and gotten four. And so as a result, it's a little bit hard to digest for a lot of people and face up to the fact that we have had people who have been determined to destroy our constitutional republic and create a full-blown tyranny. And, of course, this NDAA thing, that is evidence, very evident, strong evidence that anybody should be able to understand that this is a revolutionary effort to destroy the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all of that. But we need to have patience with these people that are having a tough time getting their mental condition readjusted to where they, you know, are ready to admit. You know, it takes a certain amount of confession on the part of somebody that has been so deceived for so long. They need to speak out and tell the world that they realize that they have been deceived, and now they're trying to regain a handle, get a real grasp of what the truth is and such. So it takes a lot of time. I've been working at it. I tell people I've been on the soapbox since 1975, and it's been slow going, but now I see, you know, tremendous progress, and I'm just thrilled to death with it. But we've still got a ways to go. We haven't got this thing, our lawful government restored yet. We haven't got the, brought them back, or brought it back, I should say, like we're going to. It's going to come back. There's no question in my mind. So, Kurt, are you there? You must have a comment or two.
Well, I think Terry may be back on board here. He is. We ought to give it back to him. Thank you for offering.
I am back on. While I'm waiting for these sheriffs to call in, which I'm sure Kate will let us know as soon as they've got in, a bunch of them just headed to their rooms to make their calls. And so we're going to get overloaded here with sheriffs in a few minutes. But this has been a tremendous, tremendous morning. I have to tell you, some of the speakers were like Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center spoke powerfully about the about Agenda 21 and how much problems that's creating in our country, and just he really got into a lot of detail on that, and I wish that's something that I'm hoping we'll get a DVD of and be able to play on our show later. Also, Michael Badnarik spoke this morning. He was the very first speaker and really gave a lesson on the Bill of Rights. And, of course, Michael's entertaining, fun to listen to, so it was great to have the conference start out with him because it livened up everything. But the thing that's really, as I said a while ago when Stuart was on, that's impressing me is even though these guys are not totally aware of everything, they're listening. They're really paying attention. They really sincerely want to protect and serve. They want to take care of their people. They want to protect the unalienable rights of the people in their counties. And some of these guys are sticking their neck way out there. And I'm proud to be here amongst such a courageous group of guys who also have a humility about them. I mean, I think one of the major problems that we've had in this country is how much ego has gotten in the way, little power struggles, and people really playing politics. I've heard time and time again these sheriffs saying, you know, I love my job, but I really don't like the politics of this job. And that's kind of a consensus that I'm hearing out of a lot of these men. And that's also encouraging to me. And I've been sharing red A lot of these guys have gotten your books to walls in our minds, and I pointed out to them that they can go into your book and see the difference between a statesman and a politician. And I'm hoping that that message comes across loud and clear to many of them. Let's see. Kate, do we have anybody on with us yet? I see John Lopey walking by, so I'm sure he's headed to a phone to call.
Hey, Terry.
John, you want to call in on my phone? I'm helping
hey,
John Lopey get called in. Who's this?
That's Sheriff Wilson, too.
Who's this?
Sheriff Dean Wilson.
Oh, great. Dean, give us a synopsis of what your day's been like and what's been most surprising to you. Tell the folks a little bit about who you are. A lot of them know that you were on the sheriff's panel and that you're up there in that Klamath River Basin. But give us a little history about Dean Wilson and then tell us what's so important to you about this conference.
Well, I've been, of course, a sheriff in my county now for two terms, going on my third term right now. I've been there 9 years as sheriff and worked in my county for over 24 years before that, before being elected sheriff. And so, you know, having the responsibility for the county and seeing a lot of the things that have been happening, especially in California. I live in probably one of the most beautiful spots on God's green earth up there in Northern California, right on the Oregon border, amongst the redwoods and the rivers there. And but unfortunately, about 74% of our county is owned by federal and state lands. And so our business, logging and fishing, have been hurt by federal regulation. And we came to, I really came to this convention really because having the sheriffs around us talking about the issues that are going on not only in our county but across this country, the attacks on agriculture, the attacks on timber industry by both the EPA and the Department of the Interior, U.S. Force and BLM regulations that have started to cripple our counties and destroy the life styles of our people is very important to me, and hopefully coming here and talking with other sheriffs, I'll get some good ideas and also have an understanding of really where our country is heading.
Well, also on with us here, Dean, is Kurt McKenzie, who I believe you're familiar with.
Yes.
And I also believe we've got John Lopey on live, Kurt.
Great.
You want to introduce him?
Well, I'd be happy to. Sheriff John Lopey from Siskiyou County was the sheriff to pull together that fantastic sheriff's panel. Eight sheriffs stood tall for the Constitution that went viral and well-respected within Siskiyou County and helping to lead the charge there. So I'm happy to introduce him. John, welcome on board.
Thank you, Kirk. Good to be with you.
Go right ahead. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, I think this is a great event. We've got the constitutional sheriffs, you know, together. And actually today, you know, we kind of renewed some of our knowledge about the Constitution and how it applies to the office of sheriff. And I think that we pretty much had a consensus amongst those attendees that, hey, you know, we have a very important elected position that's constitutional in nature, and we have an obligation to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we have a unique role in that regard. So I think it's a great forum. We exchanged some great ideas, and I think every sheriff in attendance, and some of them brought their seconds in charge, are going to make a stand for the citizens that we serve as public servants.
John, I know that a number of sheriffs from Northern California, Southern Oregon, and West of Oregon were there. Have you had a good chance to meet sheriffs from across the country?
Yes. We had a great showing from California and from the western states, but there are also a lot of sheriffs from places like, you know, Texas and We had some eastern sheriffs along the seaboard there in Florida. Most of the states seem to be represented. And, you know, and one thing in talking to the other sheriffs, it seems that we all have the commonality of some of the same issues, constitutional issues that threaten the American way of life, threaten our freedoms, and the economic stability of our counties. And it seems like some of us have unique problems and issues, and some of us have different federal and state agencies with which the, you know, we're negotiating or we're battling. But it seems like universally across the United States, the theme of overregulation and the impingement against, you know, the constitutional rights of our citizens is a common theme, unfortunately.
You know, one of the things that I think was really good about the Siskiyou event is not only the names of the sheriffs that attended, but the fact of who didn't attend. Will there be a list of published list of the sheriffs either that attended or didn't attend?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, it looks like we have another event planned, a similar event that we had, because the sheriffs are going to get together in Siskiyou County again on the 25th of February. It's going to be a Saturday at 2:00, and you know, the whole idea behind that event is try to replicate you know, the solidarity and you know, the efforts that were evident during that Defend Rural America event. And then we plan to have some events in other counties in the North State, and we'd like to hit every county. And the purpose of the event is to, you know, highlight some of the challenges we're facing, and kind of you know, kind of demonstrate the unity that the sheriffs in the North State have, you know, for these issues that are impacting, especially land management or you know, water issues, you know, land use issues, because, you know, right now a lot of us have these issues with the declining timber industry, which is about destroyed. We have a threat against farming and ranching. We have a threat against mining. We have a threat against recreation, and some ranchers and farmers who have had adjudicated water rights for 5 or 6 generations are being threatened with, you know, their water being taken away for the sake of things like an endangered species. We have another assault on the timber industry in Siskiyou County because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is issuing another spotted owl restoration plan. So there's a multitude of challenges facing our citizens that our freedoms depend on it, our economic stability, our traditions, our way of life, and it's kind of essential that we all stand united to protect our citizens from these potential excesses.
I guess down to that always, united we stand. Have any additional sheriffs joined the conversation? If so, speak up, or if you haven't pressed 1, make sure that you do so.
Yeah, this is Sheriff Cook from Weld County, Colorado.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, then. Why don't you give us your feedback on the conference so far, or what's going on in your area?
Okay. Well, actually, I think the conference was awesome because, you know, you tend to live in an island sometimes, but this really brought to light a lot of the problems that sheriffs are having nationwide. I found it very interesting, the sheriff from Delaware, how they're taking away all of his authority and power. And I'm thinking, wow, how did we let this happen? So, you know, so far I think the conference has been very very enlightening and very interesting to hear and get with other sheriffs from throughout you know, throughout this country to hear about the issues they're having.
You know, I'm pretty familiar with the issues up in Northern California, Southern Oregon. Why don't you just take a moment and just briefly tell us what's going on in your area?
Well, what kind of came up was the overreaching authority of the federal government when it comes to the forest lands. I'm on the board for the Western States, and we're fighting that. We had an issue. Weld County, those that don't know, is flatlands north of Denver, and we don't have a lot of forests there, but we do have the Forest Service in the Pawnee National Grasslands. We had some issues with them a couple of years ago because they want to burn the grasslands, and it's intermittent with farmers' property, and we've been going through this large drought, and they wanted to burn, and we kept saying, no, don't burn, because, you know, we can't control it. The winds come up. It's going to burn private property. Well, they did anyway, and sure enough, a farmer's rancher's fence and barn burned down. So we, again, issued a warning not to do that, and they disregarded it. We then finally just said, you know, we're going to fight you and become a, the term just slipped my mind, but a consolidated or But we went to, and we became a county that said, you know, we're not going to allow this to happen. They came to the bargaining table, and so to speak, and decided not to burn last year. And so we're fighting with on that. But what bothers me a lot, too, is they try to overreach on issues like PREA, you know, the Prison Rape Elimination Act. So they try to come down and say, look, if you don't do this, we're going to fine you. We're going to tell you how to run your jail. And I'm leading the charge with the county sheriffs of Colorado to fight the federal government on 10th Amendment grounds to say you can't, you don't have authority to tell a local jail how to run. And so when that comes out, we're going to fight the federal government on the PREA stance.
Has your community come to the realization that these aren't just local problems and just, you know, one government agency or one government agent, but this is actually part of a bigger picture?
You know, I don't think they have yet. I think they're looking at it in isolated terms as opposed to a broader term. And so I think that's something that I need to work on and with people in my community to have them realize that if it happens to the sheriff, that it's going to happen to any one of them.
Now, Dean, are you still on the phone? No. John, are you still there?
Yes,
I am.
Okay, John. So I know the community up in Siskiyou County has fully awakened. I understand from some conversation I had that the number of sheriffs up there that are cordoning has actually even increased. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. And, in fact, the California State Sheriff's Association has formed a land use policy committee which is looking at coordination, throughout the state, although, you know, most of the problems are kind of manifested in Northern California and Central California.
And can I interject here? That's the word, the coordination county. We went to the county commissioners and we said we need to become a coordination county to stop the federal government from burning the grasslands. And once we started that process, then they finally took us serious and decided they are not going to burn the grasslands, and they're going to hold off and get the input from the local county officials.
Now, Sheriff Dean Wilson, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay, why don't you go ahead and give us a little insight as well.
Well, what we've been doing, of course, is that about a year or so back, you know, I had happened to get called in by our local Grange who told me that, you know, they were meeting with the U.S. Forest Service that evening and they wanted me to come by, and I knew nothing of it. I came in and found out that U.S. Forest Service had been putting together this travel management plan. That was the first I had heard about it. And come to find out that in this travel management plan that they were basically going to be closing down certain roads. They were only going to have certain roads open and some for off-road vehicle use. But that basically, without consulting myself and really the county government, they had put a plan in place that would isolate and shut down many parts of our county, and that would adversely affect, of course, the sheriff's ability to provide public safety and to get access to a lot of the areas that are very remote in my county. And because of that, you know, I had the opportunity to learn about coordination and started that process, and also tried to, as much as I could, put out the hue and cry to the other sheriffs to say, you know, listen, I didn't know this was going on in my county, and you know, the likelihood is if you've got BLM or U.S. Forest Service land, it's going on in your county because it's going on all across this country where the U.S. Forest Service is either shutting down grazing rights or they're shutting down roads, and they're trying to build these wilderness zones or wildland areas and trying to limit the access and their ability to, of course, to actually provide care and upkeep in these areas, of course, is being very hindered by the fact that the U.S. Forest Service doesn't have the money to manage the lands they have.
I'd like to ask the sheriffs, each one of you individually, maybe starting with you, Dean, since you're right there talking. This sheriff's conference, what does it mean to you? Give us an idea of maybe what your favorite part has been so far, and maybe something that maybe has surprised you about this conference, something you've learned or something that maybe you didn't expect.
Well, for me, just having an organization start up like this and meeting the sheriffs from all across this country that believe the same way that I do. You know, back in 2009, I got involved in the Tea Party, went back to Washington, D.C. on just kind of a whim and stood around with about 600 to 700,000 like-minded people. And when you found and looked around and saw others that believed like you did, that believed in the same things that you did, it gives you strength, it gives you power, but it also emboldens you to take the steps that you feel are necessary because you know somebody is there that's got your back. And having this many sheriffs in one room that believe the same way that I do, that the Constitution is the prevailing article that we took an oath to defend and that we should stand and make sure that those rights that our citizens entrusted into our care to be there, to be their voice, to be there to protect them, that the sheriff is there going to be there, and those that are in that room are standing alongside of me and will stand beside me and have my back as we go forward to try to protect the rights of the citizens of this country and those particularly in my county. Learning about some of the issues of the other sheriffs, but listening to the talk, listening to the speakers today, and, of course, what drove me here partly was the National Defense Act that just got passed and how blatantly that act is an attack on not only the power of the sheriff and our authority, because it seeks to strip that away and put it into the hands of the president's office, the executive branch, and the military, and taking away the rights of our citizens for due process. And as a sheriff, I took that oath to defend that and seeing the other sheriffs, and that'll be hopefully a stance that this group will take and does appear to be taking, and together hopefully we can be heard about that issue going forward.
Well, Dean, thank you. I'm going to ask John Cook, Sheriff John Cook in Colorado, to give us his synopsis of that question. But before I do, I want everybody to hear what somebody wrote in chat. This is from our listeners tonight. It says, please let these men know how very reassuring it is for me or us to hear them speak and know that they get it. A big thank you from me, and I'll make that from everybody at Walls in Our Minds to these sheriffs. So, Sheriff John Cook, would you tell us what you've experience has been here at this conference?
Sure. You know, much like Dean, I think it's great to see that there's strength in numbers. You know, you think maybe that you're fighting this alone, but when you get with other sheriffs that feel the same way, there is strength in numbers. But what also impressed me was not necessarily the big issues, which the NDAA, you know, resolution. I mean, that's huge, and that is a clear violation, in my opinion, of our rights, and to use the military to arrest people and hold them without trial and for an indefinite amount of time. But it's the little things as well, which kind of impressed me with Sheriff Makita from El Paso County when he was talking about the DUI checkpoints. You know, I never thought about it, and, you know, I never thought, well, you know what, it might be constitutional, but that doesn't mean it's right. And so when he got up there and talked about how he's done away with the checkpoints, it started making me think, well, you know, these big things happen because we allow the little things to happen. And so if we can put an end to, you know, these little abuses, much like, you know, the checkpoints, we can hold ourselves accountable first off, but we can say, you know, we're not going to tolerate it. And then, you know, we won't allow the larger things to happen. So, you know, I just found that to be pretty interesting that Sheriff Makita, who I respect tremendously, had the guts to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And so it's something that I can take back and say, you know what, it is not right to hold, you know, to stop people when they haven't done anything right, or anything wrong, excuse me, and to make them go through this process.
I want to invite Sheriff Gregory Hagwood into the conversation. Kate, he just called in on 530 and got his hand up. I hope he's a live mic.
Thank you.
Speak, Gregory.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity to participate. It's wonderful to be here at this event. It's really refreshing to be in the company of so many distinguished sheriffs, commissioners from all over the country, recognizing that the issues that we're facing in Northern California are issues that are being faced by and dealt with rather effectively by sheriffs throughout the country. So it's really been a tremendous gathering, and I'm very happy that I've had the ability to be here and take part in this.
What's been the one thing that you didn't expect that since you've been here? Maybe something that struck you, you know, touched a chord with you since you've been here?
Well, I think, you know, in our own jurisdictions, in our own counties, we become rather focused narrowly on issues affecting just our jurisdictions. But what's been a real eye opener, and in from my experience, is the same issues that are being dealt with across the country. And as disturbing as it is, it's also pretty exciting to know that there's a group of distinguished leaders in counties throughout the United States that are taking very affirmative steps and measurable steps to safeguard individual liberties and freedoms, and the recognition that adhering to the Constitution is something that really needs to be returned to all levels of government.
Well, gentlemen, we've got Red Beckman on with us, and I don't know if you know who Red is, but that's his books that I've been passing out since I've been here. So, Red, you want to say hello to all these sheriffs?
I am listening, and I am enjoying this immensely. And my advice to any of these folks that get a copy of one of my books, don't just read the book once. I have to admit, my book, Why the Militia, came out in 1996. And yesterday I read about half of it myself. And that's not the first time. I go back and I read these myself, and I find it rather difficult to believe that I wrote that. And I have to tell you that I am absolutely convinced that I had some real strong inspiration from a spiritual source. I don't think there's any question about that, because I'm just not I wasn't educated to be a writer of books, and now I have seven of them, and I think at least six of them have met the 10,000 numbers that are supposed to be the criteria of a bestseller. And Terry earlier had mentioned the Walls in Our Minds little book, how I more or less showed the contrast between politician and a statesman, the contrast between them. And it really it hits home with a lot of people as they read it. There is another section of that little book that tells you about the two kinds of patriotism, and this is really vital in this country at this point. We have to recognize that some people, their patriotism is focused on our government, and then there's others that have theirs focused on the country. The patriotism of those who focus on government and think that government is the United States of America, they've got a real problem. They need to make some mental corrections there, because their patriotism should be directed towards our country. And if it is, why then you recognize that government is not our friend. It never has been. It wasn't intended to be. Government is something that we need to maintain at a proper level, and that's why they said we want a government of law, not men. And when we stop and think about how that what has gotten countries like Germany, Nazi Germany, what got them in trouble was there were too many people that had their patriotism focused on the Nazi system. And the ones that had their patriotism focused on the country, they recognized the danger that Nazism was. And if they spoke out, they ended up in the concentration camps, and there was a price to be paid. And we have people in this nation right now who are in jail, in prison, because they have focused their patriotism on our country, and they are speaking out because they recognize that our government is a problem. And, you know, I'm a veteran, of course, and I've said it so many times. I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I have not heard one single word about how to recognize domestic enemies. Everything was focused on the foreign enemies. Foreign enemies aren't the problem. It's domestic enemies that create the problems that destroy governments and cause a tremendous amount of problems for the people. And so, you know, the sheriffs, I hope they start defining for their people in their counties the difference in the two kinds of patriotism and the fact that, you know, we need to get a little better handle on what patriotism is and how we exercise our patriotism. Where do we really put our wealth, our power, our person behind the proper kind of patriotism? And so I'm just sorry that I can't be there. I'd sure like to be there, but and get in on this, because it's a very exciting thing for me. And I just say, the good Lord bless you all.
Gregory, you want to make a comment to that?
Well, I think Brett makes an excellent point, and you know, it's easy to recognize or identify threats outside, but I think through a lot of misguided trust and optimism, we've failed to identify the threat to our liberties from within, and that's a difficult transition to make, and it's very, very uncomfortable to make that transition and a willingness to identify threats from within. But I think there are so many examples that really can't be denied anymore, that we are facing threats to our liberties and our freedoms, not from outside our borders, but from within our borders, and that comes actually from our federal government. And to the extent that that's a difficult admission to make, it's one whose time, I think, has clearly arrived. And to the extent that, that this organization and these leaders throughout the country have come together to acknowledge that and come up with some solution, is I think should give us all a sense of optimism and hope.
This is Red again. Terry, I'd like to just say something here. We have to remember that countries, they don't disappear. Germany in the 20th century had, you know, the first 50 years of the 20th century, they had three different governments that just really did a tremendous amount of damage to Germany. But Germany is still there. Those governments are gone. The government, the USSR, is gone. Sure, there's some problems yet, but they're on the right track, I think, at this point in time. And so countries are eternal. They are here, and governments are always just temporary because governments have a tendency to self-destruct, and that is exactly what is happening to the federal government in Washington, D.C. It is self-destructing. No ifs, ands, or buts. I've studied this for years, and I think that the sheriffs, I hope they can understand that and grasp the importance of maintaining a good local government to pick up and take care of things when the federal government goes down, which it will do. It is self-destructing. The John McCains and such are doing everything they can to destroy it. And so that's enough from me tonight, I think.
Well, let me pull it back to this conference because I think we kind of stay focused on that. I think it was good to go off on that that trail because I think that's, you know, that's really exactly the kind of stuff that we're talking about here at the conference. And John Lopi, I haven't given you an opportunity to answer that question I asked earlier about the things that maybe surprised you or things that struck you the strongest about this conference.
I think one of the things that inspired me was the fact that I was reminded that our Constitution was really founded by devout Christian men who really got it right. Now it's time for us to ensure that our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and those inalienable rights that were endowed by our Creator are perpetuated and supported and reinforced by us, the peacekeepers, the sheriffs, who are the chief law enforcement officers in our respective counties. One of the things that surprised me is I am always amazed at the courage, determination, and just the fidelity of sheriffs who are willing to stand tall and commissioners and, in my case, supervisors, county supervisors, are willing to stand up for this Constitution. But more than anything else, I was reminded in a rather profound way that we serve the people. And if we do not stand tall and serve the people, we're servants, and that's a Christian ideal, servants. We serve the people. We work for them. They don't work for us. And if we keep that concept right and we stand for the Constitution and we demand that our constituents and that these federal and state agencies that we're dealing with do so in a like fashion, then our country will survive. It's going to take a lot of prayer, determination, and more than just talk, a lot of action by us sheriffs to get it done.
I'm sorry, I got distracted for a minute, as you saw, John. Kurt, you want to jump back in? Got any questions that you've thought of pertaining to the conference that you'd like to know what's going on or anything?
Well, I'm actually going to take a swerve back to the prior discussion I know you wanted to move away from, but I just do want to make a comment. I do believe that this presidential election year is a make-or-break deal, and that I believe that the Republican primary and ultimately the presidential election this year hinges around the issue of those who believe that the country's greatest threat is the enemy without versus those that have come to the realization that it's the enemy within, and if we vote the wrong way, we're going to lose.
Well, you know I better be quiet because I've got all these sheriffs on here and I don't want them to take this conversation political because if I did,
I don't know whose
toes I'd step on, but I see enemies on both sides of the aisle. Let's put it that way. Gentlemen, I want to kind of open it back up to you. And there's also an area code 970. I'm not sure who's calling from 970.
Oh, that's me, John Cook.
Okay, John. Good. I thought it might be Colorado, but I wasn't sure about it. I want to just kind of open the floor, let you guys interact with each other. You know, where do you see this thing going? This is a movement that's just really getting off the ground, and I believe that it's going to grow by leaps and bounds. And I see you guys starting the domino to fall, and I'd like to get your feedback on that.
Well, Craig Agwood here from Plumas County. I think there's a tremendous need for an organization like this on a national level where individuals from specific jurisdictions can come together as a reckoning force on a nationwide level to help help sheriffs from one coast to the other. We heard some absolute horror stories of what's gone on in the state of Connecticut and what's going on in the state of Delaware. And to the extent that sheriffs in California have the ability to reach out and offer some help and support for jurisdictions in other states, I think is much needed. I think the time has arrived. And the issues that we're dealing with affect all the citizens of this country. And to the extent that sheriffs can come together in an organization like this time has absolutely arrived. And what I'm hoping is that this alliance and this association can establish itself as a widely recognized source of direction and guidance, and not be specific to associations in individual states. I think the time for a nationally recognized group like this, I think the time has come, and I'm very, very pleased and excited to have the opportunity to be a part of it.
You know, Terry, this is John Cook. I couldn't agree more. I wasn't sure what to expect or when I got out here, how many people would be here or what the conference would be like, but I am so impressed with the numbers for being the very first conference. I don't know, it had to be over 120, 140 people, sheriffs from all over the United States here. And I think you're right. I think this movement is going to continue to grow because the more oppressive our federal government becomes on its people, on the authority of the sheriff, I think, sheriffs from all over, again, are going to, fight back, so to speak, and say, we need to do something about this. We need to get with our fellow sheriffs. And I think next year we'll probably have double the amount here. I'd be surprised if we didn't have double the amount of sheriffs because, they're looking around and saying, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. I'm not going to tolerate the abuse of our freedoms or the abuse of our liberties. And how can I fight back? And the way to fight back is through an organization like this with the strength and the numbers.
Sheriff Wilson, you want to jump in that?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm here. I'd love to. I was so excited when the sheriffs on the Northern California side and Southern Oregon, when we started getting together, when we started talking, when we held some meetings together and some training together, and come to find, that so much of the same problems that I was having in my county, they were having in theirs. And then, more importantly, that we felt that together, if we bound together, that we could make a difference, that we could push back against some of what was going on in our counties that the federal government has done. And I think, this organization, if we can do the same thing, if we can understand that the problems that we're facing are universal, but the strength of the sheriff when bound together to face these issues and to take it back to those entities that are pushing up against our communities, that we have real strength there, and that we can make a large difference and hopefully we can for the people that we represent and for the communities that we represent, make a big difference in their lives, because there's nothing more important to us. And the only thing that I've ever sworn to is that oath of office and the marriage of to my wife in front of God. And those things are sacred to me. And I think, you know, we need to hold to that course. And sitting there with the sheriffs that I not only sat on that stage with in Wairika, but also with the others that I knew felt the same way that I do that couldn't be there, to come to this meeting and to see other sheriffs of like mind has been a real inspiration. And I think we can definitely build on this start.
Sheriff Lopey, we have 10 minutes left. You're on.
Well, my fellow sheriff said it well. I think that collectively the sheriffs here nationally and on a statewide basis and regional basis can do great things to preserve our freedoms. I think, too, when sheriffs take a leadership role like the sheriffs are doing here, it also inspires the people that we serve, because when leaders step up, we will get support. I think that's a critical factor in this in this organization here and in this effort. I also think that collectively we have a better idea of what is plaguing our nation. I think we realize that the freedoms are being threatened in things like property rights or water rights or these other issues that we're grappling with. Not only impacts our counties, but also our respective states and the nation as well, because there appear to be some agendas that are impacting us nationally. So if we don't save our small geographic piece of real estate, then, you know, this domino effect can have a profound influence on our states and our country. So I think we need to stand firm. We need to energize the organizations we're a part of. We have to energize our citizens, and we also have to educate our citizens and also the officials in our respective counties so that we could get some support. We've got to maintain the momentum. We've got to keep moving forward and get things done to turn this nation around and preserve our freedoms as our forefathers envisioned it.
Well, I want to let you guys know that our listeners are responding very greatly to what you're saying. They are tremendously encouraged by what you're saying. And I want you to also know that Revolution Radio, which you're on right now, is available to you guys anytime you need it or want it. We only do a couple of shows a week, usually on Wednesday and Thursday nights on this channel, which means we've got the whole rest of the week. Anytime you guys want to do a show where you can archive it or bring people on to put the word out, if you want us to take something viral from you for you so that the nation knows about it, I did that to help out this conference when PayPal pulled their shenanigans on Sheriff Mack. We have the network out there. We're here available for you. We will fight for you. We will support you. We will stand with you. And I just want you to know how welcome you are here. And I'm not kidding. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm telling you, we are available to you to help with anything and everything that you require of us.
Well, this whole event has really been inspiring, and I think what is making such a huge difference for those in attendance here, and I know what will follow with when we go back to our collective counties, is that sheriffs are beginning to recognize the responsibility that they have to their citizens in a much larger sense than just enforcing laws. And I think historically sheriffs really focused their recognition of their responsibilities pretty narrowly, and now I think sheriffs are finally starting to appreciate the gravity and the responsibility of what our office brings to the citizens that we represent. And it's a tremendous honor. I'm greatly enthused, and I'm very optimistic about what the future holds. And now that we have such an energized and motivated group of professionals who are acting, you know, on behalf of their citizens, to protect and guarantee those liberties that are absolutely essential to our way of life.
And Terry, I have to run out. I'm getting phone calls from the office, but I just want to say thank you to you and to Sheriff Mack for putting on this forum to get us all here together. It was a lot of work, and I think you know, our message is going to go out and just going to increase exponentially to the public and to other sheriffs. So I want to thank you for your offer and for having me on the air.
Well, John, you know that we live there and not too far from each other, and I'd love to be able to get together with you guys and just know that you've got support right there in Colorado as well. And if we need to do something locally, I'm active in the GOP party there, and I'm a precinct captain. And so if there's things that need to be got the word out in Colorado, I'd be glad to support that on a local basis as well as the whole picture on the national basis. So know that also. You've got my contact information now, so don't lose that. And I'll be in touch with you as well.
Great. Well, thanks, sir. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Gentlemen, we've got about 4 minutes left if there's any other closing comments.
Well, Terry, this is John Loper in Siskiyou County again. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show. And, Kirk, thank you. It's been a great opportunity, and I just want to thank all the citizens for listening, and thanks for all the support. And thanks to my fellow sheriffs for standing up and standing the gap for the citizens we serve. It's just been an inspirational day, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Dean Wilson, I think you have about 3 minutes left.
You're always trying to put the last bit on me, huh?
Well, actually, I think we'll probably get Gregory in here behind you to let him close it out, but we'll give you a couple minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I said, it's been, like John said, very inspiring to be here. Someone recently, I was at a meeting, and they told us that they had taken a poll that the Declaration of Independence said that the power of government comes from the consent of the governed. They asked the question, do you believe that the government has your consent? And when they asked the question, 70% of our country, of the people polled, said no. And I believe that we are into difficult times, and I truly believe that the sheriff is going to be the one required, necessary element to stand up and to ensure that not only are those rights that the people have in these difficult times going to be protected, but that that order and that the necessity of our government to continue on and not to infringe further on our rights is going to be resting strongly in the hands of these sheriffs.
Well, Dean, thank you very much for coming and sharing your time with us this evening. Say that for all the gentlemen here that have joined us. We really appreciate you. Gregory, we've got about a minute and a half. Close us out.
Well, the things have gotten is, I think that we've recognized the crises that have existed for a long time, but to the extent that organizations like this are coming together, are forming, are taking measurable steps in what I think is absolutely the right direction, is cause to be optimistic. I'm also very, very pleased that the number of sheriffs from rural America who have such intimate contacts with the citizens, we have the ability to get our message, to bring that sense of awareness of these issues, to the grassroots level is where I think where most of these successful efforts begin, and I know that this organization will be another fine example of that. The time has arrived. I'm proud to be a part of the group of professionals that have risen to the occasion, and I think it should be the source of great enthusiasm and optimism, not just for the sheriffs, but for the citizens that they represent, and a wonderful opportunity
to stop some of the abuses that have been going on for a long, long time and set a new direction, and that, and so far the sheriffs are recognizing their true potential, have recognized their fundamental responsibility. Again, it's something that I think is really, really gratifying, and it's something that I haven't seen in my 24 years of law enforcement, and that this is happening now and that I have the honor to be a part of this is just a tremendous, tremendous experience. I just want to thank everybody.
The honor is all ours.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and I want to thank everybody that worked so hard to make this event possible, and I would imagine our numbers will double and triple in very short order.
Okay.
So, really appreciate
it. Good evening, everyone, and we'll see our listeners Thursday night with a follow-up show to this conference. What is the life that we